It's time for Tastemaker Talk, the podcast for food creators who want to level up their business and make an impact in the creator economy. I'm Abby Rodriguez.
And I'm Chandice Probst. We are your hosts and fellow food content creators here to dive deep into the trends, tools, and topics shaping the industry around us. There's so much to uncover, so let's talk about it.
Tastemaker Talk.
You guys, this is our first ever recording in an actual studio. We are live from Kit Studios, New York City, and we have a very special guest joining us.
Thanks, because I'm New York local. So thanks for letting me be the first here. Oh,
we couldn't imagine anyone better. We've loved Tara for years. She's just, I mean, you'll get to know her more throughout this episode, but just such a kind person, genuinely care about others' success. That's a huge thing that I love about you. And you yourself are very creative.
Well, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, I'm in a creative profession, always have been. And now I have to run a business on the top of being creative. We all have to do that. It's hard. But
okay, but you have a killer backstory. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been talking a lot about creators being like food media brands and companies and thinking about that. And so we thought you're the perfect person to talk to because you need to tell everybody about your background and your origin story and why you are an expert on being a media brand.
You know, you'd think I would have built a bigger media brand having come from where I came from, but it's hard. And I've always maybe spread myself a little thin, meaning I like to do so many things that I haven't focused in. But yes, I watched Martha Stewart build her business. I was a food editor there for many years. I started as an intern
right out of
school.
You were part of her growth.
22.
Wow.
Did you ask how old I was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had just moved to New York City, right?
Yeah. What year was that? I moved to New York City for that.
Wow. Not to like tell everybody how old you are, but like what was the year?
That'll
like,
tell everybody.
1999.
So like Martha Stewart heyday.
Heyday.
Okay.
It was a big deal. Her company, if you can imagine, hadn't even gone public. So the year I started there, it was almost a year later, they did the IPO and went public. So it was still a private company, Martha Stewart, huge, 1999. And I was the test kitchen intern.
Was it your dream? Like when you got the job, were you freaking out? Or was it not that she's Martha, but she wasn't the Martha as now?
She was the Martha.
Still as iconic.
She was the Martha, bigger than even now.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of competition now, right?
Yeah.
Like they know her as this funny celebrity.
Yeah.
But back then she was the media.
We watched her every day on TV.
Icon.
Yeah. Every day. Yeah. We got her monthly magazines.
Absolutely. Her magazine in the 90s was what made any housewife or woman or reader transform their house or want to cook or want to entertain. It was that magazine. You know, you think of other magazines that women always got, Better Homes and Gardens, Good Housekeeping, Ladies Home Journal, all of the women's service magazines. But then Martha came on and she turned it into a beautiful thing.
Even the thickness of the pages. Like she really appreciated high quality from the get-go, which is probably why she picked you, Tara.
Oh, you're so nice.
So,
I had to interview. I was still in college, finishing my senior year in college, and came out to New York and interviewed to be the test kitchen intern. And they almost turned me down, but I think I was killed them with kindness.
Yes.
And said, I'm a fast learner. I know I don't know a lot, but I kind of begged my way into that position because I was in culinary school. I majored in culinary arts at Utah State University. So it wasn't necessarily a culinary school, but I got my degree in that. Mm-hmm. Well, the only interns they took were from the Culinary Institute of America.
Ooh.
So I was told that. They were like, well, we only take interns from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I came and I had to cook for the test kitchen director and I
had to interview.
Yeah, yes,
that's a lot of pressure.
What did you make?
Yeah.
Oh, do you remember?
Yes, I remember. It was very funny. It was very chefy. And Martha Stewart and the test kitchen weren't chefy. They were for home cooks and, you know, elevated home cooking. Mm-hmm. But I had just come out of culinary school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I made like a miso glazed salmon, which in 1999 was
very big deal.
I did taro chips, which is that root vegetable. Mm-hmm. That I did taro chips. And I feel
did you call them taro chips?
I was going to say,
I know, right?
You should have sort of stayed in their mind, but you clearly did.
Yes. And then I did some sort, I feel like a rice pilaf.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. Very chefy restaurant, right? And then I remember I did a banana souffle for dessert with a twill cookie that like twisted up over it. Very chefy again.
Yes.
And it took me several hours to make that. I needed, she wanted a 3-course menu to show my skills. And so I had prepared it. I'd practiced it before I came and cooked for her. And I made it. And I remember she came over and just kind of picked at it with a fork. And this was the test kitchen director, Susan Sugarman.
Not Martha.
Yeah, not Martha. Okay. And she kind of picked at it and tasted it. And I just put my heart and soul into this, like, demo meal, you know. And she's like, okay. And then she handed me a bunch of other recipes to make and tests to do. I had to make a fluffy 3-egg omelet. Mm. And I had to make this maple cake with cooked frosting. And so she was
and
testing.
And these are all Martha's recipes.
The cake was.
Okay.
And the 3-egg omelet. And I had to cook pasta al dente and cut an onion to medium dice. So she was testing my skills.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, so that I could work in the test kitchen. And the cake, kind of a disaster. And the 3-egg omelet. Mm-hmm. I wrote the story and put it on my blog because it was just an epic story. I think she had me make it 5 times. Oh, so I was back there whipping the you know, omelet and made the omelet. She's like, not fluffy enough. Go make it again.
So I'm back in the kitchen.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Your arms trying to aerate it, you know.
Sweating.
Yes. And she like wouldn't even taste them. She's just like, no, it's not fluffy enough. Go make it again.
Bullets, or you like, right? I'm never getting this job.
Yeah. I'm like, this is going to, anyway. So I finally made it and she finally tasted it. And she's like, okay, well, it's not that fluffy, but fine. So long story short, when I went back home, I was still in school. So I went back to my classes and I asked all my culinary, you know, classmates. Yeah. I'm like, how do you make a fluffy 3-egg omelet? I hadn't learned it. I still was learning my skills as a cook. And all of them at once, they all knew. And they were like, you separate the egg whites and the egg yolks and beat the whites and then fold in the yolks so that you can aerate it more. Such a basic skill, but I hadn't learned it yet. Right. So
and she knew.
But that was a I wonder if she was testing your grit and determination as well.
Oh, probably all of that. In fact, when she hired me to be the intern, I flew home and I didn't hear from her for about 3 days. And she hired me and said, you know, you have a lot to learn, but you're a nice person, so you can come and be the intern.
That's amazing, which goes back to the core of who you are.
Well,
which,
it helps. And so you keep that with you your whole career, right? Yes. Like, mm-hmm. I got a job because she thought I was a nice person. Mm-hmm. So let's not be a crappy person, right?
Yeah, which I think you've lived by that, and it's led you to so many other things. So you went into this as the assistant.
Yeah.
Then what did that unfold into?
So I was at Martha Stewart Magazine for 6 years.
Okay.
And about every year, I got a promotion, and I just worked my way up the ranks. So after being an intern, they hired me as a freelancer, and then they hired me as a junior editor.
Ooh,
and
big promotion.
They didn't even have a junior enough position for me, so they made up a title for me to put me on the masthead of the magazine. And instead of being an editor, I was the recipe developer.
I love it.
So that's my first masthead in a magazine. Okay. Amazing. Is recipe developer. And then I just worked my way up to senior food editor. And yeah, I was there. She went to jail.
I was there.
You were there.
She did?
Yes. And so things changed. Work changed. Different people were brought in to work in the department and things like that. And
that's crazy you were there during that time.
But everything just kept going. The wheels just kept rolling.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. She had built a good team, which is also a good reminder to build that team and that base.
Well, and back to
in
that,
any business you
watching her build that business.
Yeah.
From the IPO, from becoming a public company to expanding the Walmart or the Kmart, to the Kmart line to her. She had a catalog for many years and her own product line.
Yes.
And in the test kitchen, we worked on the catalog. We would have to make the cookies that went with the cookie cutters in the catalog. We would have to make the cakes that went with the cake pans and shoot those. And so we were very involved with all of her businesses as she grew it. And then all of the home decor and things like that. So to watch your business go to that omnimedia was fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
that's what creators, I feel like that's what creators are doing now, though, is this really interesting place where you don't have to get like an agent or know somebody to be a food celebrity. Like if you have a great idea and the grit and whatnot, you can build that. So I'm just curious, how have you taken those skills helping build one of arguably the biggest female-run food media companies? How does that translate to what you've built as a food creator?
I think aspects of it have infiltrated all of my business. I'm not big. I haven't created, you know, something as large scale as that.
Sure.
But everything I do, I learned a lot from that. I also, after Martha Stewart, I went and I was the food editor at Ladies Home Journal magazine. Mm-hmm. And that was a very different experience, but I was in charge. I was in charge of the test kitchen and the food department and all of the food that went into that magazine. And I learned a lot there as well. But one of the biggest things that I learned at Martha Stewart, believe it or not, I learned what kind of a manager I didn't want to be. Mm-hmm. And then as I got to be that manager and that boss at Ladies Home Journal magazine, I was able to hone those skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, learn how to give the best constructive feedback, learn how to hire, learn how to fire, learn how to manage a team. And that has been so helpful for me.
Yeah,
I think as I transitioned into being a food blogger and a consultant, I have to use those skills all the time because I hire help.
Yeah.
I have to hire
of
help.
Course. And you have a team and you have done so many incredible things. You have 3 cookbooks, correct? Two published cookbooks that are nationwide in Deseret Book as well as many other stores. And that probably was a huge undertaking. In fact, I just got to go visit Tara's home for the first time. We've been friends for a while, but I haven't been to her house. And we see each other all the different things. And I got to walk into your office and all your beautiful little photos up on the wall from your cookbook. Shoot. She said, I can't seem to take it down. I said, don't you dare. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful. And so you worked really hard to get that, to get a publisher, to all of those things. And that's been a success.
A cookbook is a huge undertaking.
Yes. And you know what I did to myself? I thought, I've been in publishing for 15 years.
Oh, I got this.
I can write a cookbook. It was hard. It was very different than a monthly magazine.
Yeah.
It was very different than a blog.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And anyone who's written a cookbook.
Oh,
stopped creating content after I published Rue and Nourish because I was like, that's it. That's what I wanted to do. And I don't ever want to do food or recipe creation ever again.
Yeah.
Because it was like, I'm still burnt out. That was 2021. That was 5 years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
So I get it.
It's a lot. Hard work. It's your blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's a fantastic marketing tool for your business.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic feat. It, you know, makes
you.
It. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's an accomplishment. All of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard.
So you've done that. You have your blog that you're currently running. What are some of the things that are next up for Tara Teaspoon?
I kind of always keep irons in the fire.
Yep.
I have always had an arm of my business be consulting, which is
smart
freelancing.
Yes.
Yep.
It used to be called freelancing.
You have some incredible partnerships. Just today, you have worked with Melissa.
Melissa's Produce.
For 17 years.
Well, I've known Robert,
For that long.
Yep.
But you have your partners stay with you because you, again, I think it comes back to that kind person, but also you produce high quality content.
I think that comes from working at Martha Stewart.
Exactly.
Everything has
translated that.
Yes. Perfect. And I think that's shot me in the foot with my blog because I'm like, I can't put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. This it has to be perfect.
Martha would not.
Because it's
approve.
Not Martha quality. And I have had to remind myself.
Yeah.
I don't have the team and the budget Martha had. Let's just get out what I can get out, you know?
That's actually a really good reminder that it's like, you think like a media company, but also you're a small business.
Yes. Yeah. And get it out. But I have honed my skills and I do create content for food brands. And now it's called whitelisting. Back then it was just freelancing years and years ago.
Yeah.
But I create content because all of these brands, as we all know, have websites and they have marketing teams and they don't have kitchens. And so
they need their recipe index on their website using their products. And you've developed a lot of
those. Pictures of food and they need videos of food.
Yeah.
And so my name won't show up on that, but I have produced content for many, many big brands and that lives on their website or they're able to use it for internal marketing or social media. And so I can charge a premium for that because my name's not on it.
Yeah.
Yes. But I miss that whole, you know, wave of sponsored blog posts and things where people were making a lot of money and growing that way. But I kind of kept them separate for many years. Yeah. And they still are slightly separate where it's still under Tara Teaspoon Inc.
Yeah.
But I will not put my name on things that I charge a premium for and then I'll work on my blog.
Which makes sense. It's nice to have multiple streams of revenue. And in this day and age, especially with AI, the way things are going, we have talked about this personally. And so let's share a little bit more about how you are diversifying your income. You talked about you're doing those whitelisted projects. You have your blog. What are some of the other things that you're doing that other creators can look to as inspiration? Because a lot of them are feeling burnout. There are a lot of them are feeling discouragement right now.
Or we just have zero control over the algorithms.
That's a good
over point. Our RPMs,
yeah.
Over our income, if it's solely from the blog. And so a lot of us have created projects and products that we sell online. Mm-hmm. I've done the whole ebooks and I've done printed on-demand products and things like that. And I realize I never trained my audience to buy from me necessarily. And so
that's a huge distinction. Okay, and so like that is, we're really leaning into creator commerce and social commerce because that is the future of retail. Mm-hmm. A lot of where the money is for creators is, you know, having products, affiliates, all of that.
Yep.
And the really interesting thing I see coming up as a theme in these rooms when they're talking is, you may have this massive audience, but it's such a vanity metric now because if you have not trained your audience to buy from you, they don't care about that. They're looking for conversion. And so I think it's important to think about like, how can I train my audience in this day and age? Or like, do you even want that as part of your business model?
Right.
Like, maybe that's not for me.
Right. Some of the biggest creators who have done a traditional publishing route through their cookbook, they were shocked at the sales numbers.
Yeah.
They were like, how is this possible? I have a massive audience, a massive newsletter list, massive social following.
But guess what? You're giving so much away for free.
Yeah.
They're used to getting it for free.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So is there anything that, and I hate what this question. What do we do? What would you do to an up-and-coming emerging creators? What would you recommend?
Start from the beginning by selling something.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great point.
At a premium.
Right.
Okay. Because now it's Substack, now it's memberships, things like that, that everybody's trying to get
in. The younger generation is used to buying.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
And we're used to that whole streaming service thing where it's like, I'll pay for this for a few months and then I'll stop it and then I'll pay for this for a few months, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
But we all know the psychology of that is if you can get somebody in on an auto payment, they forget to cancel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think also that's training them to hit that button first.
Yeah.
But I wish there was a secret sauce for me. It's work.
Yeah,
you have to provide them something unique that you're selling them. Mm-hmm. So I've never done Substack because for me, that's a whole other set of hours of work to create something from maybe what I have, content that I have, but to turn it into something unique for those paying customers.
And it's so much work. I actually tried to start that and and it's good to learn and grow and learn what things work for you and what don't. And it was just so much time. And I hadn't trained my audience in that same way to purchase a membership, monthly membership through Substack to get things. Because they're like, why? I could go over to the blog.
Yeah.
You know?
And I also realized with, you know, printable products, ebooks, things like that, I'm sitting there paying a fee for the selling services or the platforms or the plugins and things like that. And you have to make up that cost. Mm-hmm. And it just finally, I've kind of stopped all of that for the moment.
Yep.
And a few years ago, a friend of mine and I started a food blogger retreat.
Love it.
Kind of a mini experience.
Mm-hmm. In real life is everything. What a perfect time to start that.
Yeah. It was great. We wanted it. So we wanted to create something we would want to attend.
Yes.
And we love networking with bloggers of all levels. And we, because I live in New York, we formulated it to be very New York central because I live here. I'm inspired every day. Just by going grocery shopping is a different experience.
And everyone wants to come to New York. What?
The restaurants, the food, the markets, the shopping experiences, the prop shopping, you know, all of that. I get to live it.
Yeah.
And so part of creating that experience and retreat for people was I wanted to bring them to New York and inspire them to go home and keep working on that blog, right?
Yes. So I think like, I am really excited about the experiential movement happening because obviously Tastemaker, we're coming up on 10 years. We built it on that premise, community experience, education.
And now it's everywhere.
And now it's everywhere.
Every
and it's
brand
like,
brand is doing pop-ups,
I want
coffee shops.
All the creators to be doing that though. It's like, how can we share our wisdom? What do you guys want to hear from us having 10 years of building that? And it's just so interesting how you were saying sell a product that has a really unique value proposition and you saying New York City, I can teach you how to do content creation using the city as a backdrop is insane.
That's
because so many how many people food creators can like do that having that background. So I think that's a perfect example. You just didn't do it in a subscription-based model. You're doing it in an experience.
It's once
model.
A year. I may not even do it this year unless I get convinced to.
A lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
We empathize.
You've been a long time
and I use a lot
attendee,
of my,
so you know.
Yeah. And I use a lot of my connections in New York to make the experience so special.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we had the COO of Magnolia Bakery teach us how to ice cupcakes this year and speak to us about her business journey, things like that.
Incredible.
So I try to bring unique experiences in. And it's a lot of work. It's yeah. me using the relationships that I've built for many, many years and sharing that with
Which
everyone.
I do want to mention that yours is also very unique in that you do it, the New York City experience. You also don't charge creators to come.
No, I do.
Oh, you do. Okay,
yep,
you do.
Yeah. But others don't, but I do.
You do, mm-hmm. but it is, you have wonderful sponsorships that kind of offset the cost, correct?
I have to. So yes. literally my price tag for that, it's called Foodie Creatives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for Foodie Creatives, it's a price for the ticket.
Yes.
And because New York is so darn yes. expensive.
That's what it is. Yeah.
It only covers food and yeah. boarding.
Right. If you had so that's what it is that I apologize that if you didn't have those wonderful sponsors that were a part of it, it would be double at least.
Absolutely.
And you have
and so in order to take them around the city and yeah. it's 4 days and we do so many fun things. That's so and amazing. So yeah, it's great. And wow. and I'm glad I created that. I was lucky the first year we ran it, we made a profit.
That's incredible. Small. Congratulations.
Yes. That's huge.
But also, I think that's something to keep in mind for if mm-hmm. we're saying, hey, let's diversify our income. Let's start these new micro businesses
yes.
around our business. You have to be aware you've been running your blog or the thing that is making you money for years. You've built that. Remember where you started from. And when you're starting these new micro businesses or starting a product line or something, it takes time to yes. build that. You may not turn a profit
right.
for a couple of years, or you may, but it's you're oh, still yeah. investing.
Especially yes. event-based business. Like oh. we should have a taste to make or tell all about oh like how many much times money it the, costs.
Well, and also how many times in the last 10 years have we been like, that's it. This is our last
this is
one.
The last
that's
one.
It.
This
done.
Is so expensive. Yeah.
Because we love everybody, but it is a lot of work, as you know.
It's a lot of work. It's a very lot expensive. Of expense. Mm-hmm. And it's now a business that you run.
Yeah.
So you yes. can't really like totally turn away from yeah. it. And we yeah. all really like and appreciate it.
Oh, it's not going anywhere. Tastemakers hitting all time high.
Yes. And we're seeing that even within our business to diversify what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like this podcast, we are so excited to introduce creator stories, their advice to other creators. We need that in our community.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So we have some really fun
rapid fire
questions for you that we want.
Are we going to trade off?
You're going to
me. We're going to trade off, and they're going to be so fun. Okay,
I'm sure.
Get ready.
Fun will be me yes. stumbling over the answers. Okay.
So a lot of these are business oriented, but they're okay. you know we're going to do quick fire, and then we'll ask. So first, one business investment that's paid for itself many times over.
We talked about this offline, mm-hmm. but hiring people. I have several good
because people
associates.
Worry about doing that.
Yes,
it's a skill though, like you said.
Yes, it's nice to know how to manage mm-hmm. and nice to know how to hire.
Mm-hmm.
And I have had some doozies where you have to let mm-hmm. them go, but I have a core team.
Yeah,
and yes, I couldn't run my business now mm-hmm. without them and without that infrastructure.
Which I love that you have an abundance mentality over a scarcity mentality because it is hard to invest in that, but it's brought it back, you said, many times over.
Yes. Okay.
What platform are you most excited about right now?
I'll tell you. I have a great answer.
Okay. I want to hear it.
So Grayson from iMark, uh-huh. he is a tech support company.
Okay.
He's amazing. And he just created a platform called Ocasio.
Okay. Tell,
you guys,
tell us
it's
more.
Blowing my mind.
What does it do?
It manages, I can't even describe
She's
it. I'm
like,
so excited.
It's so good.
Just look it up. It's amazing.
How do you spell it? Ocasio. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show
okay.
notes.
Because okay. We don't know how to spell that.
Yeah.
But we'll figure it out.
You can't put me on a spelling bee here.
Grayson is incredible.
Yes. So he basically took from all of his clients input from, hey, they use Clarity or they use GA4 or they use, you know, Console and all of these platforms. All this. The AI and the keyword search.
Yeah.
And he has put them together. Mm-hmm. And he's still building it.
Okay.
It's so new that he's adding things every week.
Cool.
But he wants that to be a help for bloggers.
Nice.
Where I go in now and it's only been out for a few weeks. You click in there. It will audit your site and it will pull up. Are you missing meta description from these 20 posts? Oh my gosh, you didn't even know. Are you missing alt text?
Wow.
Do you need to update this post because it's been sitting there for 4 years? Or it will tell you the seasonality of posts and so that you can block off how you want to work or how you want to update. And then there's a whole other keyword search component to it.
Amazing.
So it is,
that's
I am still learning it.
Have you seen the success by implementing the
well, it's brand new
for me.
Already.
Yes. Yeah. I already, that one audit
yes.
pulled in my Google Analytics, pulled
incredible.
In my WordPress data, pulled
that's
in everything
incredible.
That I would have had to go to three different platforms.
And it would have taken 6 months.
Sure. And also to break it down. What does it mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. It's new. I'm still learning it. But I think it's going to make blogging more fun, easier, a little more approachable.
Accessible.
Because
we want to get more social first creators because it's like you guys are leaving so much money on the table. 100%. Let us be the bridge for you.
100%. Well, we could talk about that forever.
But. Yes. Biggest mistakes you are seeing creators making today?
But I make mistakes.
That's okay.
Me
including you.
Everybody.
Well, we just barely talked about this. From afar, I don't know their business or their personal issues, but from afar, I think people should hire more.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to do everything themselves.
It's causing burnout. Start small.
Yes, it's causing burnout. I'm watching that with friends and other people in groups.
Yep.
Start small. Hire 100%. Help a little at a time.
Yeah.
And start to parse off some things that you're having trouble. Like you have, if you have control issues, even more, push yourself to hire some help.
Well, because what it does is it allows you to focus on the things you're really good at. Yep. And that actually then brings it back, you know?
And it's hard to spend that budget, especially when you don't have it, but start small.
Yeah. I always encourage people too. It's like you are a business and most startups have some form of investment. Yeah. Like, yes, you are the solopreneur, but think of it that way. Like, put yourself out on a limb. Hire smart, but, you know, take a risk. Okay, last question for you. Where do you think food creators will be in 5 years from now? What does that landscape look like?
Ooh, I wish I knew, right?
Just
for myself.
Like, yeah, what do
but
you think?
I think
based on everything that's happening right now.
I think it's going to be video still.
Yep.
I think it's
I agree.
Digestible video. People just want to consume video.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen that trend happening and it's just getting more and more. You're going to have to.
Yes, and
AI.
Not in an overwhelming way. I'm very overwhelmed by creating video. It's such a trigger word for me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm still going to be creating recipe-based content.
Right.
That's my specialty. Mm-hmm. People like it. People look for it. And they still will be. But it's being able to turn that into a few different media, you know, opportunities.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So,
And we have a fun one for you. So your last meal.
Like, oh, what would it
the
be?
The ultimate last meal.
Not to end on a low note.
No, not like if you were given the best meal of your life, what would that be? I shouldn't say last, but your dream meal.
Sounds better than last.
What's your
dream meal?
What's your dream meal?
Sorry about that. Dream meal.
Because last is different than dream meal.
And that also is a little sad. Dream meal.
Dream meal, which is tricky. I've never been a fan of like naming favorites. They change all the time.
Yeah.
But like I couldn't, I know what
current
I couldn't
favorite.
Live without. Yeah, without. Yeah. So I couldn't live without cheese, pizza, but I couldn't live without tacos and chips and salsa.
Love
but
it.
I couldn't live without, you know, Thai food and dumplings.
I think we have the same flavor palette because like, you just listed,
right? But also, if chocolate chip cookies were taken away from me, I would die. A slow and painful death.
I
have a sweet tooth. I love that. But I love world flavors. I love, you know.
Which is a good thing you live in New York City.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine going to this tiny town, moving to a tiny town and like being plopped like in a Hallmark movie? And,
the
New York girl gets
great.
Dropped in and has nothing to eat. What would you do?
Oh my gosh. Can we produce?
Yeah.
Is that our next career act? We're producing. Food creator Hallmark movie.
Yes.
Done. You heard it here first.
Done.
Because, the hungry girl.
But isn't
girl
that
in.
Funny? Food is like Hallmark. It's comforting.
It is.
Yes. People together. Oh my gosh. We've got it.
Everyone
figured
out.
It
the
here.
Hungry girl and the hunky.
Okay. No.
I'm just kidding.
I'm vetoing it.
That's the Hallmark base.
Okay. All right.
But fine. We'll get rid of that and just focus on food. Let's just
I
do that.
It.
Food matters. It's the best.
100%.
So I love that. We have loved talking to you. Thank you, Tara, for being so inspiring.
I love you guys.
For encouraging other creators. Again, you always have that generosity for creators.
Well, thanks for leading this community in such a fun way and an innovative way. It's fun to talk. It's fun to see where Tastemaker's going, where you are going individually. So this is awesome.
Thank you. We're so glad you had us. We were able to have you today. Thank you for joining us for our first episode in the Kit Studios in New York City. Thank you to Kit for allowing us to be here. We love them.
We love them. Shout out to them as a sponsor.
They have been a sponsor since year one.
Yeah. Good job, Haley.
Yes.
This is her baby.
And if you guys haven't got your ticket for Tastemaker Conference, I'm gonna put that out there. Make sure you come because Tara will be there.
Yeah, come see all of us.
It's such
San
a fun
Antonio,
time to reunite
Tastemaker
with friends,
10.
Don't you think?
Yeah,
wow,
it's the 10th
anniversary.
I like that. No, promote
Tastemaker
that more.
In Texas.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Thanks.
And we look forward to seeing everyone on the next episode of Tastemaker Talk.
Thanks for listening to Tastemaker Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know by leaving a review, giving us a rating, or sharing it with your creator friends. And of course, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. You can find more from us on our website, tastemakerconference.com, or even join us for an event where we learn and grow as a community of creatives. The conversation doesn't stop here. Talk soon!